Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday, do your daily practice. Cultivate an attitude that encourages and supports the practitioner. Throughout the day, each time you hear a negative message, turn attention to encouragement. Pick up the recorder to offer an encouraging message to the practitioner. All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Beth in Mountain View.
Hello, Beth. You sound a tiny bit away from the phone.
Okay. Is this better?
That's better.
Excellent. So what I picked was something that dropped in on an insight of beauty is on the inside, because I think I've hooked fitness to looking good or beautiful or something like that, and to take it away from that, you know, drive to have the perfect physique or whatever conditioning was trying to talk me into, is that I just decided every time I looked in a mirror, and I kind of said, well, we're going to avoid looking in mirrors, you know, to avoid comparison and to avoid the critiquing. But if I did look in the mirror, like brushing my teeth or something like that, what I was going to say is, hi, beautiful.
Yeah.
And it worked. It really,
because she's beautiful to you, isn't she?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think there's this place where when the beauty is something that's not attached to physique or look.
Not attached to what, Beth? I missed that word.
Not attached to physique. You know, the human outline.
The physical.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When it really comes as an expression almost.
Yes. And you know, Beth, the application for that is so enormous. Because if you just think about, so one of the big health issues in our country now is the result of, they won't say what it is, but it's Roundup. Okay? You know Roundup? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so for 40 years, they've been telling people, oh, yeah, you just kill those weeds and this stuff disappears in 2 weeks. Well, turns out it's killing people all over the country, right? Probably all over the world, but right. And so, what does that come down to? The same process. This part of nature is beautiful. This part of nature isn't. This part of nature is the way I like it and want it to be. This part of nature isn't.
Boy.
And that same process is the one that you're describing. So we see it playing out everywhere, where ego has a standard about how it should be, and then the torture begins. the mayhem starts.
Oh, boy, Sherry, thank you for saying that, because it really is that standard that just kills you.
does kill people. Not just with Roundup, but with eating in ways that are unhealthy, exercising in ways that are unhealthy, self-hate, just listening to stories about how unattractive you are and which leads to nobody wants you. And the reason nobody wants you is because you're unattractive. And, oh, my God.
Yes. And with you saying that, what really drops in for me is beauty is more of a presence rather than anything else. It's like something I can touch into within my experience that supersedes anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Exactly so. And we can even come, I can anyway, I can come up with a physical example of that. I think Gandhi, right, you know, at the end of his life was one of the cutest things I ever laid eyes on. Now, was he?
Yeah.
Empirically speaking, was he physically attractive? He didn't have any teeth. He was bald. He was, you know, he looked like he was on his way to infancy, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But the presence, the beauty of what he was made him beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's reflected also in, you know, people who started studying with Swami Satchidananda, where I did my yoga teacher training, is they met him and they were just like, you know, he's beautiful. They could
yes.
see it in his eyes, and they saw it, you know, in that, gosh, I hate to use a kitschy word, but aura, that sense of who he...
The You're in California now, Beth. You can say aura.
Right. He was presence, you know, and that's
yes.
beautiful. That's what.
Yes. I'll add another word to our conversation. Presence and love.
Yeah, very much so.
You put those two together, and it's a beautiful combination.
It really is. And it's just really flipped the word beauty on its head.
And you know what else? Self-hate is not attractive.
No.
And self-hate will blame how a person looks for what it's doing.
Yeah.
But what's unattractive in a person is what ego is doing to them.
Oh, boy.
Not what they look like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Well,
thank you very much.
Good choice. Good choice, huh?
Thank
you, Beth.
Thanks, Beth. Oh my, what a far-reaching conversation that was. Yeah.
Well,
I don't know
which non-dual reality. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Say it again.
Well, I said I'm not even sure which thread of that conversation is possible to pick up.
Right. And so what
yeah.
I'm saying is, in a non-dual reality, those threads, you know, we get to the what looks like the end of something, and we forget that just goes into all that is, right? You just start following that back, and you wind up in all that is.
Well, and I think that that made me think of the root of the thread, which is simply that everything in life is beautiful. As
yes.
it is, I think that was,
yes.
There was a line I came across recently about God lives as God in me.
Mm.
Oh, God lives as God is
yeah.
living as God as me, right?
Yeah.
That place
yeah.
of everything in the universe is beautiful because it is the manifestation of what it is, and that whole
yes.
standard thing that self-hate. Holds us to is a denial of our capacity to see with the eyes of love. That's what I heard when Beth says, I look in the mirror and say, hey, beautiful. Because that's
mm-hmm.
what we're cultivating, right? The eyes
yes.
God sees me. And
yes.
the ability to recognize that beauty inherent in what is rather than how it looks.
Yes. Well, how we've been taught to see it, right? Looking,
oh, that's
looking,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, looking through the eyes of not love.
Yeah.
You know, almost everything is ugly in the
yeah.
sense that I don't like it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not
oh,
the way
yeah.
it should be. It's not
mm-hmm.
the way it should be. That I know how it should be, and this is not it, which is
yeah.
kind of the equivalent of ugly.
Yeah, yeah.
But what you're laying out is when I'm looking through the eyes of love, then what I'm seeing, so back to our the beautiful Gandhi, if you don't see God in the next person you meet, he didn't say this, but it's, oh, well.
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
You're really looking through the wrong eyes, not that you're
mm-hmm.
seeing the wrong thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, here's our next caller. You're not live.
Well,
here.
Here we go.
Introduce yourself.
Hello.
Who's
Hi.
There?
It's Virginia. Hi.
Hey,
Hi, Sherry.
Virginia.
Hi, Ashwini. Hi. Well, I guess what I'm looking at, like the karmic conversation or the karma is like around lack and lack of energy and lack of time. And so I'm looking at, I don't know, I'll just try and get the words out the best I can, but I'm just looking at that the fullness and the completeness of this moment.
Yes.
That it's all right here. And I don't have to even tell myself that, you know, there's another way you could flip that, you know, not enough and then have enough or have, but it's not even that. It's just that right in there, everything is complete and full and available right now.
Yes, exactly so. Exactly so. So what you're describing is presence or ego.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so it's so important because getting to, there's deprivation here. Oh, no, there's plenty. No, there's
right.
deprivation. No, there's plenty. That's never going to go anywhere, right? And
right.
so it's back to the previous conversation where what you're looking for is what is true.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's the
right.
fullness, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's so perfect. Thanks, Sherry. Yeah. Yeah, what is true. And then being in that perfection of the moment or the wholeness of the moment, then that other thing doesn't exist or just dissolves, you know, kind of just, it's no longer relevant.
It's not even real, is it?
It's not even real. Yeah.
Yeah. We cannot simultaneously, well, there's a way in which, but that the movement that you're describing from being identified with ego and the dualistic world of not enough, yeah, there is, no, there isn't, yeah, there is, which just wear a person out, which is the whole point.
Right.
Versus turning attention away from that duality back to what is really so and true in this moment. Then we don't even have to have a conversation about fullness.
Right. Oh my gosh, that's
right.
So good. Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
I have to listen to this again.
We don't have to have a conversation about anything.
Right. Right. Yeah. Exactly, Sherry. Because I was going to segue into I started to prioritize, you know, movement insofar as what if I'm being told about how to prioritize my day is not true either, you know.
What if, huh?
Right, what if? I mean, it's kind of going off of that. You know, what if I devote the whole morning to movement? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, who says
this
other thing is more important? And anyway, yeah,
what
but what you're saying
devoted,
is...
What right. if you devoted your whole morning to life?
To life, right? Yeah.
To movement, to meditation, to presence, to... you're recording
right.
and listening. You're right here, available for life. And then in the afternoon, go off with shoulds.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And or, I mean, what if there's time for everything? You know what I mean? Like, what if I do the movement? What if I do what I love, and then like just kind of whatever opens in the moment, then that's.
Well,
it,
how about
a rhythm or something?
What if you start out with what you love?
Yeah.
And then you realize you love everything.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I love that.
Because that's what's going to happen.
Right.
That's what's going to happen. Yep. Because
I love it, Jerry.
If you stop and look at it, there's nothing in your life that you don't want.
You like
what you do for a living. You like the people that you work with.
Right.
You like that you've chosen all of it.
Right.
And then
right.
ego turns it into, yeah, but you have to do that other thing. You have to do that, and you can't
right.
do that. Well, just
yes.
start out with life and love, and then
yeah.
see if there's anything that doesn't that you get. Solid intuition that No, I think that's coming from ego, and that's really not, that's not, it'll fall away.
Yeah, yes. Okay, that sounds lovely. I thank you so much.
Got your program.
Yep, got my program.
All right.
Thank you,
Take
Virginia.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Virginia. That's so subtle, right, Cherry, that we get drawn into thinking about the problem within the terms of the conditioned process.
Yes.
And yes. And so trying to solve that equation, which is unsolvable.
Yes, because it doesn't exist and it's not real.
Yeah, and it doesn't point to what is so, right? And so we have to be in what is so, and then we realize that the problem is an illusion.
Yes. Yes, so what you're saying, just to underline it, is that when we have a problem, it's because we're looking at a problem through a problem. Now, the overarching problem, of course, is ego and conditioned mind. So we turn attention there. There's a problem. It starts looking at the problem, trying to solve the problem. And because that problem only exists there, it's never going to be solved, but our life is going to be siphoned off in that process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that place of the first place to always look when we feel like we don't have the energy or there's scarcity is an identification.
Yes. Yes. Because where is that energy going? I don't have energy. Well, where is it? It's being used up in a conversation about how I don't have enough energy because this is what's wrong with my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Eleanor in Georgia.
Hello, Eleanor.
What are you seeing? Whoa, boy, what am I seeing? Oh, life. So, hey, where to start? Fitness has been such a fun month. I love fitness. I love exercising. I love being in my body. And but I've also seen a lot with that. What I was looking at now is how, so somewhere in the night I got caught in a story. Somehow today I woke up believe in this story. And so what I've been doing successfully since I was fortunate to go on an amazing retreat back in August is every morning my recording has been to start with saying, just picking up the recording and saying what is really true is. And it's been working. And it comes up to all kind of answers, but usually it's that it's important to take care of this human, that you are adequate to life. And on this month's topic, it's been a kind of that I'm the one. I don't look to someone else. I don't have to look to someone else to see how to take care of myself.
Mm-hmm. Like someone that else was in your real, head.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
and that was a really great one. It was that opposite thing because it was like, well, you know what? If you really want to look at this one, it's like, well, first of all, presence is the place to take care of myself, obviously, but also, I've spent a long time with this body in a lot of different ways of studying and experiencing practices of different types of fitness. So why would ego be telling me that I don't know how to take care of myself? It's like, well, excuse me? Anyway, so that's on that level. And, of course, presence is the answer. So what I was looking at now is how – kind of what the previous conversations were about when the content is practice and I'm trying to figure out and ego takes over whether I'm doing the practice right. So I had this grand experience of it on the retreat because it was a workshop and I would find myself often between workshop, sessions, ego would try to get me and say, ooh, you got to work on this. You got to figure this out. And I and I was gifted with the line, this presence to say, oh no, I don't have to figure this out, and stick with it and have the trust that I would stick with it, you know, with whatever the assignment was, but that the next session would be the next session, and it would bring whatever it brought. And it was pretty miraculous that it worked like that. If I could let go and start again each moment, I guess. But in this situation, it was the next session. I'd go in open to, okay, what's next? Instead of stuck in, oh, I can't figure that one out. You know, I didn't make 100 on that last test, and I don't have my assignment totally right. So instead of staying in that conversation, I could be open to what was next. So I'm looking at doing that now.
That's right. And to connect those up, Eleanor, all of your life, I project, you have followed life's guidance on how to take care of yourself. Something would drop in, and you would pursue it. Something would drop in, and you would pursue it. That's what you've been doing. Right? Mm-hmm. And because what happens to us, of course, is we see a process in one area of life, but it's really tricky to get it that process is a process, and a process is happening everywhere. There's no process that's operating on its own with one particular content.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And so the voice comes in that wants you to get in a conversation with it about figuring out how to take care of your body. You realize, well, that's ridiculous. I don't know how to do that. I've been doing that for decades, right? And then to connect that up with what you saw at the retreat, which is, I don't need to figure this out. I just need to be here for the clarity to drop in and then follow that.
That's it. Uh-huh. And
yeah.
Yes, and I can, yeah, in this year-long retreat, I get to see that over and over. But that connection's big because today is today. I can see it in this moment, you know. I am on retreat pretty much, you know. And
life is retreat, right?
Right.
And the thing, you know, one of the things we're conditioned to do is to believe that we should get this. So, again, you know, I'm fond of saying there's a lot of money for spiritual types in making people believe that the lights come on one time and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That sells. Okay. However, it's possibly not true. Okay. And so and the Buddha was a great example. All my spiritual heroes were good examples of no. You need to keep showing up in every moment and practicing. Right. So
yeah,
dropping that idea that because I've seen this in one place or because that happened, you know, I had that clarity, you're right. It's a moment by moment by moment by moment that we're going to clear away everything that is between us and presence.
And knowing that that's the conversation that just takes us away from that.
Precisely.
From the present.
That, and that's its only point. That is its only point. And for us, we were talking, I guess, was it yesterday on this or somewhere, about the humility of, yeah, okay, yeah, well, okay, clearly I need to see it again because I'm seeing it again. Yay, I love seeing it. I really love seeing it.
Yeah, okay, I forgot that. Yay, okay, good reminder. I really love seeing it. Yes.
I love seeing it. And it is
that inspiration, though, to know, oh, yeah, I love seeing this. That's right. You know, if it does drop in to remind me that I did it in the past, it's like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I got it. You know, this is good.
Yeah, this is good. I love seeing it. This is where I want to be. I'm not getting anywhere. I'm not trying to be somebody special. Yeah, I just want to be here.
I can be here. Okay. All right. Thanks. It's so nice to have the connection, you know, and the participation with Sangha is certainly a big help.
Yeah, yeah. So what I just saw in that is I don't need to be the star of the show, and I especially don't need to be the star of Ego's show.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm mm-hmm. just happy yeah. to be one of life's bit players. Thank you very much. It's a great role. I love it.
Great. Yeah. That takes a lot of pressure off, for sure.
Yeah.
Bring
All
you
right.
Join
thank
in.
You, Eleanor.
All right. Thanks. Yeah. Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Eleanor. Terry, we have time for one more caller, so here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hello. Who's this?
Hello. This is Kelsey in Santa Rosa.
Hello, Kelsey.
And
what are
I'm
you
calling
seeing?
You today. Oh, gosh, I'm seeing so much stuff, and I can't wait to listen to this particular radio show again. It's been so good. I'm able to call in today because I am working late, so I can't usually call in. But what I'm really seeing is that the piece of conditioning that I get to with about around the time when we make the commitment is the same thing over and over again.
Okay, Kelsey, there's a lot going on. Can you just sit still or stand still for a minute?
Yes, I can. Okay.
Okay. Good, thank you. Okay, so what yeah. you're seeing is...
What? Can you hear me all right now?
Yes, perfectly.
Okay. So what I'm seeing is it's the same... Well, I mean, it's kind of obvious when I think about it, but each of the 3 months I've been with the workshop, conditioning really wants to take me offline around the time we hit the commitment, and I will start getting behind on assignments, and it won't let me go ahead with the day's assignment until I've gone back and done the others, and it insists we need a chunk of time to do that, so there's all these strategies, and it's because I noticed that what conditioning wants to do is put off everything in my life that would support me and make things better. And
that's right.
Yeah.
And,
so that's
and just with that, Kelsey, that is so big. Because the bottom line thing we have to get is that what's controlling us is a voice in the head. So the idea that it won't let me do the previous assignments, do the current assignment until I've done the previous assignment, it has no ability to control us, right? All we
right.
need to do
yes.
is turn attention away from it and say, this is what I'm doing. Take that.
Yes, and that's it. And I just, even though, like, I'm also doing Zen awareness coaching, and I missed my two-handed recording. I've missed 2 days this week, but the week before, I only did 2 days. And and so when I'm talking to the mentor just keeps pointing out, it's like, you're coming so far. Don't look at that stuff. Look at the fact that you got up and got to the 6 a.m. gym class without an argument, and then came home and did the virtual meditation. And
because right.
when I'm not listening, it just keeps being apparent, okay, this is the next thing I need to do. And
yes.
so
that's the bottom line of everything for us, right? That's it. I'm either giving attention to that negative voice in the head, or I'm present to what's now. That is a
exactly.
way of practice. That's it. Everything else is just, wrapping. It's just what we do because just that information is hard for us to wrap our head around or stay with. But
it is
laid out.
So,
is the whole deal.
And it's so simple if I just remember to stay with it.
That's right.
It's so much easier to do something if there's not a conversation about it. If it's just like I put on my gym clothes and I get in the car and I go to the gym, or
yep.
or I get out of bed and connect to the virtual meditation. It's just
that's right.
It's
that's
easy.
Right.
It's easy to
Life
do things
is
all the
simple.
Time.
Life is simple. Ego is very complex yet painful.
Yes. Yeah. Well, so I'm celebrating my victories, and I think it's,
yes.
you know,
yes.
spending less
Have
and less
party.
Time sitting with that. Yes.
Right.
All right.
Right.
Gosho.
Thank you. Thank you, Kelsey. Gosho.
All right.
Thanks, Kelsey.
That's it in a nutshell, isn't it?
Yep, and what a wonderful show.
Yeah, it's good. Okay, what now?
Here's our assignment. Do your daily practice. Come up with a special way to express appreciation for the practitioner. Remember, appreciation is not related to performance. We are practicing unconditional love and acceptance.
Yeah, it's just what you were talking about earlier. Recognizing, realizing, and celebrating the fact that we are expressions of life, just perfect, unique expressions of life, just as we are.
Yeah.
All right.
And you know, Sherry, just one thing before we go is what Kelsey said, that we spend 20 out of the 29 days in looking at a process of suffering. And this last week, the week that we spend doing our daily practices is the training in the process of seeing through the eyes of love.
Yeah.
It is really the moving towards freedom, not away from suffering. And it's so important that we learn to do that.
Yeah, yeah. No wonder we hit resistance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank
All
you,
right.
everybody.
Thanks. Talk
Go
tomorrow.
Happy. Okay.
Go happy.
Bye-bye.